Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from the Holy Gospel found in St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There's a challenge every Reformation Day. It's not technically Reformation Day. That's on Thursday, same day as Halloween. All Hallows Eve is where the name Halloween comes from, was on that day. 1517, 502 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. 95 points of debate over the selling of indulgences in the church. Pieces of paper that were being sold to free souls from purgatory. The challenge on Reformation Sunday is to not get caught up in talking about Martin Luther. I often say Reformation Day is not a Lutheran pep rally. It's kind of what it turns into, though. We sing these magnificent Luther hymns like "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." We're going to sing another one of his at communion. We have a beautiful 20th century hymn we're going to sing at the end of the service. Beautiful Lutheran music. The Reformation was all about the Word. The Reformation was about the Word. And that's fitting because you hear me talk about the Word all the time and its importance. Jesus said in our gospel today that you are truly his disciple if you abide in his word. If that's the case, and we believe it's true because Jesus said it, then Martin Luther was truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because what Luther did in the time of the Reformation, and it does help to tell the story a little bit, because you can't take for granted that everyone knows the story. Martin Luther in the 1500s, was a German monk, had been going to school to be a lawyer, but he was terrified that God was going to send him to hell for all of his sins. He was terrified. And so terror-stricken, he became a monk, gave his life to God, and did all the things that a monk would do his entire life, lived in service to God. And he figured, maybe this way I can avoid God's damnation. But the more he looked at himself and examined himself, the deeper he realized his sin went. And it wasn't until he began to read God's word, the scriptures, the Bible, that he found a God of love. Because the only place you can find a God of love is in God's word. It's the only place. You'll hear people talk about how they can worship God, they can find God just as easily in their deer blind or on their fishing boat as they can in church. But you know what? You can't find a God of love out in nature. You know what kind of God you find in nature? The God who's behind tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and blizzards and all sorts of natural disasters. The God of nature is terrifying. Can't find God in science. Science is useful, but science is not the end-all be-all of all things. Because for everything science purports to explain, it can't answer. Why do bad things happen to some people and not others? Why is this person hurting and grieving and not another? You can't find God in science. You can't find God in your good works. Book of Isaiah tells us all our righteous deeds, they're like filthy rags, polluted garments. They're not fit to touch before God. They're of no value to him apart from Jesus Christ. If you try to find God by living a holy life like Luther was trying to do, you're going to find your failure over and over and over to measure up to what God has commanded. Because what God demands from his people is that they be holy and pure and righteous, as he himself is holy and pure and righteous. You won't get 5 minutes before you mess that up. That's the depth of sin that's in you, and that's the depth of sin that Luther uncovered in himself. But the reason we can still talk about Luther and not get derailed into making this a Lutheran pep rally is because the whole point of the Reformation was that in the Word, Luther found Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, he found that God is a God of love. Jesus says in our gospel today, "Abide in my word. If you are truly my disciples, you will abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free from the guilt, free from the failure to keep God's laws, free from the failure to live as God has created you to live. In Jesus Christ, you are made free. Not because of what you've bought from the church, not because of the good works that you've done, not because of the enlightenment you've reached about God and who he is, all because of Jesus Christ. You are free. Free from sin, free from death, free from the devil. What that must have felt like for Luther, who all his life had been taught that God was someone he should fear, to finally realize that God was someone who loved him. Today we heard in our epistle from Romans chapter 3, we heard Paul's talking about how it is that we can stand right before God. He says, what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, by the law of faith. And then Paul says words that were like a salve that opened Luther's eyes when he read it. We hold that one is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. You can stand before God. You can enter into his presence because of faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has died for you, risen for you, lives for you, and will come again for you. And you learn that in the Word. It's all about the Word. Abide in the Word. That's actually, that word abide is kind of a strange word, isn't it? We don't use that word today. That word abide can also mean to dwell, to make your home in, to remain in the Word, dwell in the Word, live in the words of Jesus Christ, and you will be free from sin. Sometimes I often ask questions like, and people ponder questions like, do I have to go to church to be saved? It's a tricky question. I mean, no, but yes, because what is it that we do here? What is it that we do here in God's house? We abide in the Word. We abide in Jesus Christ. We hear that word that says Christ has died for you. He has justified you, made you right before God the Father. You're not going to hear that word in your deer blind. You're not going to hear it in a science lecture, and you're not going to hear it if you think you're living a life that pleases God because of all the good things you do. It's the Word that tells you Christ has died for you, and in him you are free. I heard someone tell the story once. I need God's word, but I don't have to go to church to get it. And the pastor replied to the person, yes, you also need water to live, but it's much easier to go to a well if you want to get it. There's water in the air all around us, but you can only drink it if you get it from a place where it's given to you. That's why we exist here. That's what we do here at our Redeemer. We exist to abide in the words of Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, we are free. Free from sin, free from guilt, free from all the burdens that God's law puts on us. We are free. You, dear friend in Jesus Christ, are free. Death has no claim on you. Sin has no claim on you. The devil has no claim on you. Because Jesus Christ has conquered it all. One of the things that I find that I have to do these days as a pastor is encourage people to say this. If I ask people all the time, are you going to heaven when you die? I don't want to hear the aw shucks, oh, I hope so. No! Jesus Christ died on the cross. If he died on the cross, and you know that, then yes, heaven is your home. Then yes, you have salvation from sin, death, the devil, and all that goes along with it. Yes, you are free. So abide in the Word. Make your home in the words of Jesus. The words that say, I am with you in your baptism. Romans chapter 6, where it says we are joined to Christ in baptism. Words of forgiveness spoken to you. John chapter 20, where Jesus tells his disciples and all who carry on their ministry to speak forgiveness of sins to people. Words joined to bread and wine at the altar, where you eat Christ's body and drink his blood. Even more than that, you eat the word and drink the word. It's the word made edible and drinkable. That's how you dwell in the word. That's how you abide in the words of Jesus. Live as his baptized child. Confess your sins. Receive forgiveness. Eat his holy meal. Study his word. Read it together as a family. Pray over it with your families. Individually, meditate on that word, because in that word, dear friends in Jesus Christ, that's your life. Without price, without charge, it's already been paid. In our gospel today, Jesus encounters a group of Jews who are kind of flummoxed by what Jesus has said. And they want to know why they need to be freed. They think they're already free. They say, we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. How is it then you say you shall be set free? Those people figure because they were from the right family tree, they had it made. They were kind of the opposite of Luther. Luther was terrified that he was going to go to hell. These people that Jesus is talking to, they were sitting on Easy Street. We don't have anything to worry about. We're descendants of Abraham. It's all good. We might be tempted to fall into one of those two traps ourselves, wouldn't we? To either think, I'm such a miserable wretch of a sinful person, God can never love me, and we forget to see Jesus. Or, my name's on a membership list, and I go maybe once or twice a year, maybe a few times a year, and that's good enough. I got it all taken care of. No, the life of the Christian is lived in the Word, abiding in the Word, dwelling in the Word. Hearing that word that says, yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you are deserving of hell and damnation and eternal torment. But you know what? That's not what you're going to receive. Because Jesus Christ endured the penalty for you. He took your sin, your guilt, everything you deserve upon himself on the cross, paid the price. And now Jesus tells us the truth is, you are free. You are free people. Because Jesus Christ has given you everything freely. Heaven is yours freely. Salvation for all eternity, it's yours freely. That is what the Reformation was about. And that is what we do well to remember, not just as Lutherans, but as Christians, as those who desire to live as God's people. Abide in the Word. Dwell in it. Live in it. Not just occasionally, not just every now and then. Make your home. Live, dwell, and remain in that Word that says Christ has died for you and you are free in Him. In a few moments, we're going to gather at this altar and we're going to eat that Word and drink that Word. You know why? Because that Word is Jesus Himself. So John tells us in his gospel, Jesus is the Word that became flesh. He's the Word that becomes bread, the Word that becomes wine, the Word that dwells in bread and wine for you and me. That Word means that Christ is here with us. He's here with you. It blows my mind. I hope it blows yours too, because it's such a stunning thing to contemplate that here, in this Word, in this sacrament, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, Savior of all mankind, is here with you and for you. Not to terrify you, not to damn you to hell. He's here in love. The God you find in this place is a God of love who forgives the sinner and gives them life in His Son. The Reformation, when it boils down to it, well, it's really all about Jesus. Jesus for you. Crucified for you, risen for you, and coming again for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep in your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.